Can you read that again, babe?
Say that scripture.
Psalms 119:105, and it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet,
yes,
and a light unto my path." And you notice there, there ain't no darkness, and it's all light, ain't it? The word's all light. "I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." I've heard some folks in here talking about judgments a little bit ago. We're going to look at that. "I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word."
Amen.
"Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments."
Mm-hmm.
You know, the judgments of the Lord are righteous, aren't they?
Amen.
In righteousness does he judge. "My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts," or from your instructions. "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. Forever are rejoicing my heart." And thy testimony is a heritage. Look at Isaiah 54:17 here. It says, and here's a testimony for us that's for our heritage. It says, "No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." You know, that's our testimony of him. Our righteousness is of him. "I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." But I want to look for, I got to reading and studying on this the other day, and I got to thinking, some reason it come to my mind, the Holy Spirit. You know, I got thinking about 911, emergency call, operator, 911. So I want to look at Psalms. I don't know why my mind got thinking about that. But Psalms 9, let's go to Psalms 9. And we were talking about Paul and Silas here this morning too. But let's look at verse 7. It says, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness." Thank the Lord that he does that. "He shall master judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Now here's 11. "Sing praises," this is 911, calling 911. "Sing praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." You know, but that made me think about old Paul and Silas. They probably didn't know they was calling 911 when they got their singing and praising the Lord, you know. But there it is right there in black and white. But I like that before, that those that put their trust in thee. Let's go on to read. I don't see a new word that I never come across, or I don't remember reading it, but we're going to look into it. And it really ain't that great a word, but it's something to learn. It says, "When he made the inquisition for blood, he remembered them. He forgiveth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, and consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lifts me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands."
Hallelujah.
Hagillion, shalom. But this word Hagillion, I looked it up, and I really wasn't, it only appears three times in the Bible. If y'all ever remember reading that word, Hagillion? Amen. But I looked the definition up, and a lot of people really think there's no real good definition for it. But if you got a footnote on it, it might say meditate. But this meditation here, what I've read on it is without, in like our time and dimension. It's not, it's it, and this scripture's written to the wicked here to meditate, think on this. But I got thinking, you know, the wicked. I know this is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to address the wicked, you know. Within the good news, there's warning to the wicked too, you know. But and I know there ain't no wicked in here, but you know, think about it. They'll meditate on that forever and forever and forever and ever. It means to meditate on it forever. That you know, they'll think, man, I could have made Jesus Christ my Savior. I missed it. And could you imagine that torment itself? Just having that thought forever in your mind. I missed being saved. But anyway, I thought that an interesting word. And another quick 911, okay? Psalms 91:1. 91:1. Talking about those calling on the Lord, you know. And Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow Almighty. I will say the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I trust. You know, the psalmist here, he trusted in the Lord. And David here, that wrote a lot of this, I was reading there, I think it was in Corinthians the other day, that made mention of David. And it said, he's a man after God's own heart. And then it went on after that. We've always heard of that, but you was talking this morning, Thurston, about doing the will of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and it goes on to say, he always wanted to do the will of the Lord. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. He said, Lord, I want to do your will. And you know, that's what we want. And I got to think about David, a psalmist. You know, Mary was talking about singing praises. And what's words tell us to do? Sing praise, hymns, spiritual songs. You know, making melodies in our hearts. And, you know, for that is the will of the Lord for us. So, you know, I'm sure David did that because he wrote a lot of psalms and all. But, you know, we need to follow that example, don't we? Singing and making that melody in our heart. Thanking the Lord for what He's done for us. Well, Brother Charles, I'm going to ask you to pray and get Miss Mary to come on forward.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you did for us on the cross and grave, that you are no longer in the grave. And we give you the praise, the honor, and glory as we celebrate you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. He said he's no longer in the grave. Praise God. So that means we can live a resurrected life.
Yes.
Praise God.
And we have the legal right to.
A legal right to it. Amen. Y'all know I'm excited because Paul said we were crucified with him. And when he got up, we got up. Praise God. But I don't want to get on that. I only have a few minutes here. I mean, I'm down to count here, a few minutes. And I had so sweetly told Apostle that I wasn't going over today because I wanted to give him his time so I can have all my time next week. I got things to talk about next week. But what I want to do is revisit something I did not complete at communion last Sunday. And that's learning how to discern the Lord's body. I may not be able to go to all my scriptures or do all I want to do, but I'm going to give you enough. that when you walk away from here, you're going to know how to discern the Lord's body. Paul said that in the 11th chapter of Corinthians. He said that's one of the missing ingredients to your healing, to your everything, is discerning the Lord's body. They didn't need to discern the blood because they knew the blood had saved them. They had got them from sin. But the Lord's body, brother, can you bring me some of that bread? I have, they already taken it off the table. Yeah, bring me that. Well, I was talking about the bread.
Communion bread.
Okay, communion bread.
There ain't nothing left.
There's a box.
How many know, just go back there and get me the box. How many know that we need to learn how to discern the Lord's body? Just take time and learn how to do that. If we learn how to do that, we can benefit from the Lord's table that he has prepared before us. David was very advanced in his time. He said, the Lord prepared to take, in the 23rd Psalm, he was talking about communion with the Lord. He said, the Lord prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy.
Ooh, glory.
And he said, my cup is running over. Mm-hmm. And Psalms 119, he said, that cup is the cup of salvation. He was a little advanced. Just a little advanced in it. That's the reason he could receive from it. But we got to discern this. We got to go deeper than just a cracker or what you see. See, if you don't discern it, it's just going to look like an ordinary meal that you eat. This is not an ordinary meal. This is a spiritual meal. And you can benefit from this meal. In these end times, God is calling his church back to the table that he had prepared for you. Why don't you come to, you in the natural, when your children don't come to the dinner table, you're like, what's wrong? Are you hungry? I'm here asking, are y'all hungry? God is calling his people back to the table. And not just come back, but he wants you to understand it, what you're doing, so you can benefit from this table. He prepared it. Let me tell you, I love a meal when somebody else, you can eat it better when somebody else prepared. Oh, one of my friends, she can't cook worth a nut, but everything is good when she prepared it, you know? And he has already prepared this table for us. And sometimes your naturalizing things are just look at it, well, Sister Mary, that's just piece of bread, but you got to go deeper. When he said discern, he means spiritually discern. Because your five senses will just say, it's just a cup and it's just a cracker. I mean, you won't discern. But we're talking about discernment here. And I gave you a snapshot of discernment last week, but I didn't complete it. The Syrophoenician woman, when she came to Jesus, she said, Jesus, I got a daughter with the devil in her. I mean, I'm not spending one more night with her. Jesus said, you don't have a covenant. I can't give you the children's bread. You don't have a covenant. She said, and he said, I can't get this to the dogs. He said, you don't have a covenant. She said, listen, I'll be your house dog. I'll go under your table. Because she discerned two things about the Lord's body. She discerned that his body was in abundance.
Amen.
And what was the other thing she discerned about the body?
Just a crumb. Just a crumb would work.
The crumb what?
The crumb would do it.
Just a crumb. Now we're sitting at the whole table. We're not getting crumbs. But she said a crumb would do what I need for that daughter. She said the daughter was in bad shape, though. She said, but if you just give me a crumb, say, I'll go under the table, and you got so much, some of your children is going to drop something. Mm-hmm. She does. She, what was she doing? Discerning the Lord's body. She says, enough in here. If I just get a little crumb, y'all know what a crumb is. Mm-hmm. If I just get just a little bit, it will heal my daughter.
Amen. Amen.
And what did Jesus say? Say, woman, for that sin, you know what he was telling her? When I get this Bible together, you going in there. I'm going to put you in there for just that saying. And we still reading about what she said. Because she discerned his body. She said, a crumb will do it. All I need is a crumb that falls from the table. Jesus said, you just gone away from here because your daughter's healed. I mean, and it wasn't too many things that amazes Jesus that people said, but that he will. You go on, you got what you came for because you discern my body. Now we don't get crumbs. He pull up chairs for us and said, come to the table and eat. But eat with discernment. Because if you don't eat with discernment, your five senses is going to say this is just a cracker. And I see people just taking it all the time, just as, you know, they hadn't really discerned it. But we see the snapshot of the Syrophoenician woman going down into deep discernment, a crumb. How deep is that?
Abundance on the table.
Uh-huh.
So many people think that it's just for the Jews, and back then they thought it was just for the Jews. But
it was just.
She was saying, "I realize that this covenant is not going to be just for the Jews, but it's going to be for me too."
Yes, yes. That's when she said, "I may have to go under the table now." But it was going to open up for the Gentiles. You know, she opened it up.
She knew that abundance wasn't going to just fill one table.
That abundance.
But don't you think she also saw his mercy?
She what now?
She perceived and saw his mercy.
She did, but she told him the crumb would do it. The crumb. She also, I'm trying to get y'all as children to learn how to discern the body. If she discerned that a crumb would do it, we don't eat crumbs. He don't feed us crumbs.
Amen.
With children, you come to the table.
Amen.
Eat as much. He said as often as you do it. You can eat as much bread as you want. I know there's another component, another element to that, and that's the blood. But because of time, I can't talk about them both together here. But we want to discern. Let me tell you one more thing about the church. The church, some of them can't discern if we're supposed to be discerning the spiritual body of God, which is the church. One man told me, said, we're supposed to be discerning God. You know, we're God's body. And in the 10th chapter of Corinthians, Paul did talk about that, but he was only talking about that trying to locate them. Location is everything in the body of Christ. When Adam went away and was deceived from eating, he ate and took us all away from the table. But here's we eating again. It's bringing us back to the table. It's doing something good for us. But Adam, when he, God asked him, where are you, Adam? And he wasn't talking about geographically, because he had placed them in the garden. He knew where he was geographically. But spiritually, he was asking, where are you spiritually? And when you look at the body of Christ. Now, Paul was trying to locate them in the 10th chapter, trying to tell them about their location. Paul said, you're in this body, in this one body. He wasn't saying, remember this body or discern this body when you go to the...
many people think you're talking about deserting the church, the body of Christ. He wasn't talking about that. Paul was trying to tell them where they are located at. You're located in this body, so y'all shouldn't be conducting yourselves, yes, behaving yourself the way you're all in one body. There was some rich there was some poor there was some all kind there, and they were just treating each other. He was saying the rich is in the same body, the poor is in the same body, the black is in the same body, the white is in the same body, you know, and I can go on and on with that. He said to all, he was trying to tell them their location spiritually. He wasn't asking us to discern that body, because he told them to examine themselves. How is he going to ask us to discern that body? So I need to clear that one up, because people think, well, we got to discern each other. No. He said, examine yourself.
Amen.
Not nobody else, but examine yourself and see if you be in the faith, if you all right. Yes, we're supposed to have table. He was trying to locate them, put them in a location so they could have better table manners. When your children come to the table, we be saying, don't do this, don't do the half table manner. So when you go out, people will know that you've been trained at home.
Amen.
With table manners.
Amen.
And that's what he was doing. He was putting them all in the same location, letting them know you can't behave this way at the Lord's table. He said, examine yourself. And just put all that out your mind. Jesus said, remember me.
Yes.
Not his spiritual body. You know, he do want us to behave. And that's the reason Paul had to tell them where they were located. He had to had to put them in a location. Let them know you're all in the same body. You ain't got no business behaving the way you're behaving and cutting up. I mean, they were doing some way out things there at the communion table. He said, you can't do that. Y'all in the same body. Y'all are one. The unity. It was no unity there. But we must understand. You know, as they gave us snapshot in looking at the communions and the Lord's Supper that they did in the Bible, and each one of them, they had to deal with something. Jesus had to deal with something. He had to deal with strife. They all had strife there. Who's going to be the greatest? And he's trying to show them the Lord's Supper. That was his last supper. You know, he was trying to give them some things before he go to the cross. That was his last hour. You know, and he was trying to give them some important things. But they were like, who's going to be the greatest? And one said, I'm going to be the greatest. And the other one, and they were getting mad at each other. They had strife in their heart. And he just stooped down and just had to do the servant job, had to show them, to get all the strife out of them. Because Peter was saying, Lord, you don't have a bit, you can't do that, you're Jesus, you can't get down there and wash our feet. He said, I'm showing you who's the greatest, who's going to be the greatest, one that serve. You know? So he had to get rid of all that. And I know y'all said we so sweet and we so intelligent. We don't come with all that baggage. I didn't see nobody fussing and fighting over food or nothing or misbehaving. I'm so proud of y'all. But when you're ignorant of the word of God, it's just as bad.
Amen.
When you're ignorant to what he said, when you don't discern it, when you're not benefiting from it. It's just as bad. Y'all just so intelligent. Y'all behaving so good. I don't have to deal with all that. I don't even have to wash nobody's feet. Foot. Whatever. I don't have to do foot washing. Nobody have strife in their heart. But being ignorant of what he did is just as bad. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me good? You know, we went to one service, and so they said, we're going to take communion, and we're also going to wash feet, because that's what God did in the whole communion. You got to wash the feet as well as take communion. Those two things go together. They didn't realize Jesus had to stop and get that strife out their heart. Because if he had, we wouldn't have had no day of Pentecost. We wouldn't have had the Holy Ghost to come if they had kept that strife in their heart. He had to get it out right then. He had to deal with it then. Like Paul had to deal with these issues of the separation, one thinking they're better than the other. And he had to tell them you're all in the same body. You're just one loaf. One loaf. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me good? Y'all in one body. So you better love each other. You better treat each other right. You're all in that same loaf. That one body. Okay. And now, one way that we do discern the body is that we meditate on his word about the body. This let's go to Philippians 3:10. This is what Paul said. And now, when he wrote that, Paul had accomplished a lot of great things. Okay? But here, 3:10, he said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If any means I may attain unto the resurrection of death. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I fall after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He said, I want to apprehend that one that got me that day. He said, I'm after to learn him. What he's saying here, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. See, the power of his resurrection was another body. A body where it was resurrected. Mm-hmm. Then he said, now I want a fellowship with him in his suffering. And some people think, I want to suffer just like he suffered. One lady said, I just want to suffer just like he suffered on the cross. You know, and she thought that was just so... She really thought it was very spiritual. She was an older person, had She had been a child of God for a long time. And she wanted to suffer like he suffered. But that's not the suffering Paul is talking about. He said, I want to fellowship with him in his suffering. You can fellowship with him in his suffering. You can do it. Mm-hmm. You can fellowship with him. Let me tell you. He said he wasn't going to eat. He told his disciples, I'm not going to eat no more of the Lord's Supper until we eat it again in the kingdom. Well, the kingdom done come. The kingdom is here on earth. And the Holy Spirit is fellowshipping with us. Now, when you leave him out, we can't leave him out because he's the one to help us to discern the Lord's body.
Yes, amen.
I mean, we can really, Paul said, you know, he had accomplished a lot. He said, I hadn't got where I wanted to be. That means we are growing. We're continually understanding the things about the Lord's body. We're continually growing and understanding. And if you meditate on the word and let the Holy Spirit help you to discern, you know what you can say at this table? Say, Holy Spirit, I want to discern this body. I know you're here with me. Always be conscious that the Holy Spirit is there with you taking the Lord's Supper. You're not there by yourself. You can ask him questions. You can say, Holy Spirit, here in Philippians 3:10, Paul said he wanted to know that resurrected. See, that resurrected body resurrected in all power. It resurrected in some power. He said, I want to know.